Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We are continuing in the book of Luke, Lessons from Luke. Have your Bible ready if you can. Reading in Luke chapter 2, it says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now it starts out in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass." It came to pass. The Bible in the Old Testament is full of prophecies that things would happen concerning Christ and being born in this world. He was prophesied that he would be of the line of David. He'd be born of a virgin. He'd be born in Bethlehem. That John the Baptist would announce his coming. That he would live in poverty. That he would do miracles. We are told in the Old Testament about the massacre of the children by Herod. The Bible tells us that the child would flee into Egypt with his parents. Talks about his Galilean ministry. Said he would be from the tribe of Judah. Said he would be presented with gifts and so on. What I'm saying, we could go on and on about the Bible prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the birth, the ministry, and the death of Christ. All the details are there. And it came to pass. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So God uses prophecies. He said this will happen. It happened, and it will happen today. The next thing on God's program, as far as Bible prophecies is concerned, is the return of Jesus Christ. Then we see Caesar Augustus is mentioned here in Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. God uses people. He used Joseph in verse 5. He used Mary in verse 5. Here in verse number 1, he uses Caesar Augustus. God has a plan, and God will use whomever he will in his plan. It says that this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So he will use Caesar Augustus. He will use whoever he wants to use. You look back in the Old Testament, as far as God using people, he used Pharaoh, he used Caesar Augustus, he used kings in the Old Testament to come against Israel and judge them, and God is using politicians today. So we see, first of all, God's prophecy, then we see the people he used, then we see the plan that he has, and then these two verses also talk about politics. And I think we're in one of the most interesting eras I've ever lived in my lifetime concerning politics and what is going on in the States today. The truth of the matter is, God uses people. The next thing on God's program is the rapture of the Christian, and then after the Christians are raptured out of this world, there's going to be a tribulation period such as this world has never known before. Well, it's got to happen. The politics that are happening today, to me, it's exciting. It tells me that the return of Jesus Christ is right around the corner, and that's why so many things are happening in the political world that are happening today. Now, in verse number 3, it says, "All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." So we see God uses prophecy, he uses people, he has a plan, he uses politicians, And the Bible speaks a lot about particular places where God worked. Here we see that he is using a little insignificant town called Bethlehem. This is where Christ needs to be born because the Old Testament prophecy said he would be born there, not in Nazareth. And so God used these politicians. They passed a decree. Joseph and Mary had to travel almost 100 miles when she was late in her pregnancy, a terrible trip. But God has a plan, and God's plan sometimes doesn't, you know, he doesn't check with us to see whether we like his plans or not. He has a plan, and that plan is going according to schedule here in Luke chapter 2. Well, they come to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem to be taxed with Mary as his espoused wife being great with child. And it says that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, it doesn't say there was no room in the inn. It says no room for them. Nothing much has changed. There's no room for the Lord. I was recently speaking at a place where there was a group of people, and I asked one of the ladies there, I said, what is Easter? What is that all about? She said, you don't know? I said, yeah, I know. I was wondering if you knew. She said, well, that was when Jesus rose from the dead. I said, well, this place is all decorated for Easter. I see Easter bunnies, and I see chocolate. There were supposed to be eggs laid by a bunny. I don't see any Bibles. I don't see any crosses. Why is it that Jesus isn't represented if we're supposed to be representing that he rose from the dead? No, we're going to replace that with Easter bunnies and fictitious things. Same thing is true at Christmas. The greatest thing about Christmas is the birth of Christ. Well, what do we have there? Some fat man they call Santa Claus, put him in an imaginary sleigh and troop him around the world, and he's giving gifts to everybody and all that nonsense. Well, that's where we are today. We have no room for Christ. Let's just get him out of the resurrection, and let's just get him out of the birth story, and get him out of our schools, get him out of everywhere. There's no room for Christ. And so it says here they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, reading down through verse number 8, the attention turns to the shepherds. And all the way down through to verse 18, even down to verse 20, the focus is on the shepherds. That's a lot of verses here that God is giving to the shepherds. It says in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, shepherds. The word pastor is only in the Bible in the New Testament a couple of times. In fact, pastor is there once, and plural is there once. But the Greek word is there 17 times, has been translated shepherd. And so there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, that's what God wants for us as pastors to be doing, keeping watch over the flock, keeping watch over the flock. Well, it says in verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, it's interesting that the announcement comes to these shepherds. God always has had a remnant. We've talked about this many times before, and I want to bring it up here again now. He's always had a remnant. You go all the way back to the days of Noah. How many people got on that ark? There was millions of people. There was a small remnant, only 8 people that got on that ark. Well, when Jesus was born, how many people knew about it? Well, a few shepherds out in the field, they knew about it. And as we go down through the story here, we'll see that a few other people knew about it, but very few compared to how many were living and going through the motions of religious activity there in Bethlehem and Jerusalem at that time. Well, it says the angel of the Lord came unto them, shone round about them, and the angel of the Lord said unto them, verse number 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. There's no sign here to all the big shots downtown in Jerusalem and Bethlehem and all the religious people, the hypocrites that are going to later crucify Jesus, he gives a sign to these humble shepherds out in the field. He said, "Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And while everybody was going through the motions of what they do, making money or the religious activities or anything else, they missed this whole thing. They didn't see this great thing that the shepherds saw. Well, it says in verse 15, "It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us.'" They must have been humbled by it. Well, it says they came and with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, notice the difference here. You got the multitude and you got the remnant. What's the remnant do? Oh, they wonder at those things. What in the world are you talking about, crazy shepherds? Mary, the remnant, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds, part of the remnant, returned glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had seen and heard, as it was told unto them. Well, it says in 21, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Now, tradition, I get so sick of how we mess things up with our tradition. Tradition says that Mary and Joseph came 100 miles, had a baby in the middle of the night, got up and fleeing to Egypt. No, 8 days later, they were still there, and the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, it says. And then 30 days later, in verse 22, it says that the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Well, here again we have part of that remnant. We read here in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." And we have the story down through here that he talks to Joseph, he talks to Mary, and he knew what was going on. There's a lot of people in the temple that didn't have a clue what was going on. There's a lot of people in our churches today that don't have a clue what is going on either. Well, he says to Joseph and Mary that Jesus would be, verse 32, "a light unto the Gentiles and a glory to thy people Israel." Now, it's very important to rightly divide the word of God. We need to know when the Bible is talking about something that the Lord is doing regarding the Gentiles, and when he is talking about something that he is doing that has to do with the nation of Israel. They're two different things. When I was a young Christian, I first got saved. I remember sitting in Sunday school, and they would sing that little song, "Every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line." Nice little chorus, except it isn't true. God made some promises to Israel that he didn't make to the Gentiles. And he made some promises to the Gentiles that he didn't make to Israel. And it's very important to rightly divide the word of truth. Well, in verse 33, it says, "Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Simeon." I guess they would. We need to keep in mind how young these young people are. They were married. Young ladies were 12, 13 years old, 14 maybe when they got married. Joseph was probably 14 or 15 years old. And this would be a tremendous confirmation for Joseph concerning the fact that Mary was a virgin when she conceived this child. You have to put yourself in Joseph's place. There's no indication that he didn't believe her, but I'm sure the devil come along question it in his mind many times. Well, we'll leave it there for today. We're going to look at another message next when there's a message there for Mary. It says in verse 33, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary. He had a particular message for her. Be sure and tune in for our next broadcast.